For those who prefer their cars rocket-powered, flying in high with no boost but holding on to the dream, it's Knox Phoenix and Savage coming to you live from Manfield.
So I found my way onto the U.S. News website, and it sparked a game that just has to happen based on one of the top trending stories on, no joke, usnews.com. So I'm going to ask you not to go there, Savage, but we're going to play a fun game. This is Family Feud.
Okay, so not going there to U.S. News.
No, stop it.
Okay, I'm ready, this, I'm willing.
This news article is called "They Got What Stuck Where?" And it's all about the most common ER visits for rectal foreign bodies. So we're going to throw up the top six answers. Nope, sorry, the top seven answers on the board. Savage, go ahead and give us your first guess. You get three strikes before you lose.
So it's, what is the category again?
Rectal foreign bodies in ER visits from 2014 to 2015. The most frequent rectal foreign bodies.
So,
things that got stuck up people's butts in the ER.
So first I'm gonna go with fruit.
Fruit. No, that is not on the board. First strike.
What the hell? Okay. So, how about number two? Toy cars.
We're going to give it to you, but just so that you can get on the freaking board. Number one answer, 35 incidences in 2014-2015 of erotic toys. All right. Okay.
Heck, so yeah.
We'll consider, I've seen some toy cars. They are kind of sexy, so that's an erotic toy. All right, okay. Number one answer is off the board. Let's go. Your next guess.
Next, I'm going to go with a hand.
No, strike two, not on the board.
Really? Hands?
Really? No hand? No, I'm pretty sure someone can forcefully enough remove their hand.
There aren't a whole bunch of people that go into the ER with their just hands stuck up someone's
butt. I think that can be a problem
that
resolved at home. It is dangerous.
That's dangerous. But okay. How about drugs?
We'll give it to you on a technicality. Bags is the top third answer. Yep, just bags. It's just generic bags. Like grocery bags. People
like
just
grocery bags. Like, I was walking home from the grocery store.
There's
and
a better
like,
way to
hey,
transport
I'm
these
stick
groceries.
My butt to see what it feels like. Oh God, it's stuck.
There were six instances for bags. Next guess. One of these you may have tried yourself.
Oh God, I don't try many things.
I'd like to
with
hope
my
not.
Bum.
This maybe someone you know.
What about
that is an erotic toy. Come on,
it just
now.
Plugged it too well. Dang it! Oh, should have thought about that. Race cars were too erotic for me. Because I mean, on a scale of one to erotic, I find toy cars at erotic,
right?
And like butt plugs.
It's really
like
funny. The like, see, at least I mean, it's reassuring, in your sanity factor as you struggle to like actually ponder what people might stick up their bums. I'm glad that you were like, oh yeah, top six answers. Da 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 da. Yeah. Like, okay, Savage, I worry.
It's because I've been to the ER with all six of those up my bum in the past year. How about
yes, pens and pencils. Bottom answer on the board, with two incidents. Good guess.
Ooh.
Why is this article on usnews.com?
So the only reason that I said pens
and you're
is
thinking about
literally
it.
A pen in my
the
hand.
The thought crossed your mind.
And now I'm just like, I'm thinking, should I take a quick break from recording the podcast and just like See what happens.
All right. We still just have head one, on over to the two, hospital three, and four. Four more answers left on the board. One of these hits a little close to home, Savage, for you. Okay. I'm telling you. Yes, I don't know why it's on the board.
Golf balls.
But every other answer is extremely generic, except for golf balls and one other one. What are people doing with golf balls? You tried that new Titleist 3? So good.
Oh, the new Pro V1X.
Stop.
Their spin control.
All right, three more answers on the board. One strike remaining. Can you do it? Yeah, you one struck strike on hands and...
Hand. Oh, I and then, threw away hands. Why would I say hands? I
forget what the other one was.
Dang.
My first guess.
Let's see. What's about well, the average size?
I'm going to tell you right now. Two of these things are like, no. Yes! The second top answer!
Bottles.
Why?
Oh, there's a bottle on the ground. That's too big. That's probably why they had to go to the ER. Oh, God.
Oh, there is one on here that is just impossible to guess, and I have no clue why it's on here, and I don't even want to think about it really too much. You have two more answers on the board. Let's see if you can close this thing out.
All right, that's...
You've so got...
Have, what's, what have
you've
I guessed
got erotic
so
toys,
what have
bottles,
I gotten, right?
Bags, golf balls, and pens and pencils. You still have the fourth and fifth top answers. Top... most frequent incidents is
how about gosh, I'm running out of things to stick up my butt. Like everything that I would normally stick out my butt that would be just like on my desk.
I'll
here.
Give you a hint on one of them because they're so weird.
It's
what would be
like
an upgrade
there.
From a bottle? Like you would think like no.
An upgrade from a bottle? An upgrade from a bottle?
Yeah. Like, the bottle just isn't doing it for me. I think I'm going to go...
Like a glass or a cup?
Yes! Yes. Cup is the fifth answer on the board.
Oh my gosh. Cup?
All right.
So there's bottles and cup?
Yep. All right, there's one more answer on the board, and I guarantee you won't get it, so you're going to strike out here. I'm sorry, but I have to hear what your last guess is.
So, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look around my room. Give me 20 seconds. Put some Jeopardy music on, and I'm just going to go around and see what I can stick up my butt.
Boo, 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 boo. Boo doo boo doo boo doo boo 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 meow 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 dum dum. Alright, time is up. You have to give me an answer immediately.
So I have with me five products that I could potentially stick up my butt. And if I give
I wouldn't put this on the potential list, but go ahead and just list off five objects.
Okay, so I have first off a controller.
Nope, not gonna work.
Rubik's Cube.
Nope.
A computer mouse.
Nope.
A very large snow globe.
Nope.
And what is this even called? It's...
Wait. No. What is it? What is it?
It's a Staples non-flammable compressed gas duster.
Oh my gosh! Aerosol container is it! It is aerosol container! No freaking way! How are aerosol containers on the list, though?
Wait, aerosol... Why is that so specific?
Like spray paint cans and stuff!
And like compressed air.
Yeah!
Why is that so specific?
I don't know! It's like golf balls! But, like, golf balls is, like, a feasible thing that I could, like, you know, maybe imagine, like, you know, being possible. This is not something I could imagine being possible.
I mean, the container that I grabbed, maybe I'll tweet out a picture of it later on. There might be something on it, but
It doesn't help that the air container that I'm holding right now is called the Dust Destroyer. All right, we're done talking about people's buttholes. Let's talk into people's ear goals now about Rocket League, because this is a Rocket League podcast where we jump on Rocket League news, boost you straight to Rocketeer, all the while scoring our amazing voices into your ear goals. I am Sir Nox Phoenix.
And I am your Lady Smith Savage.
We've got an adventure of an episode for you this week with some great stuff to talk about, and I'm really excited to talk about it. First, we have some new announcements from Psyonix. You probably have seen this. We have one trailer video, but that carried multiple announcements. First off was the new map, all right? And this is kind of a new map. It's not really a new map. It's just a new map reimagined, I'd say. The first of the Rocket Labs map to be upgraded out of Rocket Labs and get its own skin and get rid of the Tron texture and stuff is now Neo Tokyo. So Underpass has been given a facelift, and it now takes place in a sci-fi Asian Tokyo kind of arena.
Is with it really all kinds of sci-fi? Or is it... Yeah. It looks like it's just taking place in, like, downtown Tokyo.
Well, like, Neo Tokyo is kind of like... The new word Neo Tokyo. is like, new. Yeah, so, like, it's this idea of, like... Because you have to think, there is obviously a different world that Rocket League takes place in. Psyonix has talked about this a little bit, where there's this idea that there's a world that Rocket League takes place in. We're going to hint at the lore a little bit, but it's not Earth current world that, like, we... That it takes place in. Now, there's a wasteland, so there's some kind of apocalypse, but there's obviously, like, futuristic aspects from, like, some of the backdrops and stuff. So Neo Tokyo makes a lot of sense that it would be, like, a, like, you know, Neo Tokyo. I think of the movie Big Hero 6 that had San Fran Tokyo. It was a combination of San Francisco and Tokyo. It's not like that, but, you know, it's its own Tokyo.
Wait,
it's not.
Is that a place because San Francisco, like, drifted across the ocean and then Japan drifted and then they, like, crashed together?
Dude, that'd be cool, though. That would be cool.
That's not what happened?
Oh. No, that's not what happened.
You never saw that movie.
Yeah, I forgot about that great earthquake of 67 that just broke off half of San Fran and it drifted over to meet Tokyo.
Like the California fault line, if anybody saw the movie 2016 or 2012, it's possible. Right? 2012, yeah. Because the world ended back then.
Saw the movie 2016.
The movie 2016 is coming out this December. You better be scared.
But the map looks really cool. Underpass looks really cool. You can see a lot of it in the trailer. We'll link it in the show notes. But it's basically just Underpass. I mean, no actual physical changes to the map that
now
you can tell from the trailer.
So when I looked at the video, I actually thought that the map did look different.
It looked almost smaller a little bit, right?
It looked like the curved edges on it were like a little shorter. Like not as big of edges. It looked like the ceiling wasn't as ridiculously high as it is in the current underpass, and it also looked like they kind of almost flattened out the back wall a little more.
Maybe, but it's all about like what the because you know how if you're in spectate mode when you're like recording clips, you can change the I guess it would be FOV in like a spectate mode kind of setting, but it's really like camera lens length, like the focal length. Where it's, you know, when you press the like sticks and it zooms in and zooms out, what that's really changing is the actual ratio to like distance. And so that can like play tricks on your mind. I doubt that they would have made any physical changes to the map. And the reason I say that is because the whole purpose of Rocket Labs was to play test the maps, find people's favorites, and see what needed to be worked on. And when they found out that work needed to be done on maps, they made the changes and kept them into Rocket Labs. We saw that with Retropia and even a couple like tweaks and stuff on Double Goal where like they got some crazy bounces they had to do some tweaks on and stuff. So I highly doubt that they're making physical changes to the map. Also, another reason for that hypothesis is because this map is coming straight into ranked. So get ready for the angry people to have another non-standard map in ranked. But it's coming.
Because
and
God
I don't think that
forbid
they would...
any map be different than the exact same one that started the whole game. That would just ruin everything for everyone, and everybody should just flip their shit.
How do you feel about it coming into ranked? Be honest, like the savage.
I am super happy that it's coming into ranked because I think that the different maps promote more difference and more skill levels, making people have to be able to adapt to like what's going on and not just see something and know exactly where it's going to bounce. Being able to, I don't know, I want people to be more on their toes while playing this game rather than just like settling into the same pattern, because I think that type of thing keeps people intrigued in the game and keeps them coming back to these type of things because they are different and they have to work on them outside of just what they've been doing this whole time.
I find myself conflicted, torn about this because here's why. I'm a purist at heart. I'm a traditionalist. I often work from the mentality and philosophy of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm obviously not bored of Rocket League at all right now. So, I'm fine with the standard maps just being all that I play. And the purist part of me is like, no, this is like a sport, you know? Like, they don't change the soccer field for different, like, soccer teams to play on. They don't change the basketball court for basketball players to come on. Like, it's all about, like, you know, how good you can be on a basketball court. And it's just your players versus their players. And that is the only determining factor isn't what court you're playing on, but it's, you know, who's the best at basketball. So I kind of have that mentality a little bit with Rocket League. At the same time, it's an esport. And versatility and, like, variety plays a big role in competition. You know, maybe the reason that basketball courts and soccer fields aren't changed because it's not feasible to make different places all the time and travel to them. But with an esport, you have that where, like, you can just travel all over the world with a click of a button. And who knows? Maybe this is even, like, the thing that would give me a better shot at playing at a higher competitive level because, you know, everyone played the same map so long. Maybe I happen to be really good at adapting to other maps. I don't know. I haven't got a chance to play a lot of maps. So I find myself conflicted. I am ready for a new map. I would never play it if it weren't in ranked anyway, and I'd look forward to playing it in ranked. But at the same time, the purist in me is just like, no, don't change the sport. Leave the game the same. When I was back in my day, I was aerialing on Beckwith Park all day. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. And I know that, like, when you go on to Rocket League, you go into ranked. And that's just, like, what you do. And so you haven't really, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you, like you said, you haven't really spent much time with any different maps or anything. Really with any of the Rocket League labs or anything. But most of my, like, I wouldn't say most, but a lot of my play in Rocket League is just, like, private threes. Because, I don't know, I don't really care too much about me going competitive anymore, which I know is like cancer to you. That's not okay.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But it's just like I go on, and when I go on, I'm just looking to hang out with some people, meet some new people, and have some fun with it. So when I do go on, I go into, I like to host the maps, and I'll just like cycle through almost all the maps. Like, lately, I've just been going straight onto Cosmic. I really like Cosmic right now, and I've just been playing a lot of it. And every chance that I get, I throw it on.
Yeah.
And it's just like the same. Anytime that I have people that are willing to like try those maps, I play them, get that kind of experience on them. I think it's kind of.
I tell you what I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna spam no in like the, you know, curse exclamation quick chat every time the map comes up. I am going to embrace and respect the decision to bring it straight into ranked. I did the same thing with Wasteland. You know, I'm not the hugest fan of Wasteland, and sometimes I think that my inability to adapt or play Wasteland well costs me games. But at the end of the day, the other players and the other team are going through the same exact adaptation changes that I am when I'm playing on it. And it's a map, and it's there to stay. And so anytime it comes up, or even when I'm playing with like teammates, even randoms that I've picked up and stuff, and they start complaining about the map, I always make sure that I have an attitude like, ah, it's not that bad. It's Wasteland. Come on, we got this. Like, it's just different. Adapt. Play well. So I'll do the same thing with this new map. I'm not going to complain about it. That's what I'm going to say. There's part of me that maybe wishes it wasn't coming in ranked. Part of me that's really excited about it being in ranked. Not gonna complain. I'm gonna respect the decision and play the crap out of Rocket League. That's what I'm gonna do. It's what I do best.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
With this new map announcement in the trailer, they also announced two new cars to round out that the four cars that they announced a long, long time ago that are coming, that you can get all four cars if you get the collector's edition. And so they are also kind of Neo, you know, Tokyo anime themed cars as well. It's the Masamune, I believe is how you would say it. Masamune?
I believe it is the Mimosa.
The Mimosa.
If I know anything about Japanese, or
it's the, you don't, it's you apparently don't.
That the Masamune Mimosa, because the N's are silent and the E's are treated as A's.
And the Esper is the other one. They look cool. What do you think about them?
So out of these four, what one would you say is your favorite car right
what
now?
Are the out of the four? So we're talking the Aftershock, the Marauder, the Masamune, and
the Mimosa, and the
Esper. Cool.
Esper. What one are you going to? Because the cool thing about this, which we didn't know was going to happen, is all these cars are being sold for $2 a piece.
Yeah, and that's in July, though. I think July 15th or 18th, something like that. They're selling the cars $1.99 a piece instead of doing like car packs like they've done with other cars. But with the exclusives DLC, like the Batmobile and the DeLorean, they sold those for $2 a piece. I don't think this is a bad decision at all by Psyonix.
Oh, no.
Well, first off, I'm getting the Collector's Edition because I'm not going to wait to play the cars. Let's be for real here.
So when does the Collector's Edition come out compared to the others?
I think June 20th with everything else, I believe. Oh, I'm not okay. Sure. I'm actually not sure. It has a different EU release than it does US release date. I don't know. Well, I think EU is the 24th, and then July 5th is NA. Okay. That's what my correspondent is telling me right now.
Thanks, and
so, all right. What I'm gonna get the collector's edition and play the crap out of those cars. The first one I'm going to play, I'm just gonna give away my Steam code for the game. I hope that I can redeem the code and get the cars and still give away a copy of the game. I'm really hoping. We'll see how this works. I'm really nervous that I'm going to, like, only be able to unlock cars and have to pay $30 for cars. But, hashtag worth. The Masamune, I think, is going to be the first one I hop into. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call it that.
Well, so what I've heard about the Mimosa is that is that it's most, like, similar to the Dominus at this point. Is what I've heard. I don't know if those have just been speculations, but that's what I've heard, and that's what I kind of like when I look at it. It kind of reminds me of.
I think Durkin was on Reddit talking a little bit about him, and he, I think that's what he said is that it handles and hitbox wise, it's most like the Dominus, which is interesting because I didn't really like it at first. Like my knee jerk reaction when I saw the car, I didn't like it a lot because it literally looks just like an anime Takumi. It almost has the same body style. I think it's going to be different. Like, for instance, when they announced the Revenge of the Battle Cars DLC, and I saw the trailer, I thought the Zippy looked like the coolest freaking car. And then when I actually got in the garage, I thought it was one of the ugliest cars. So I think that it's the same kind of thing. Trailer, cinematics, playing like camera tricks on us. And I think that the Masamune is going to look much cooler, but at least it's going to like handle cooler. And this kind of fulfills the suspicions that I had in the first place that Psyonix wants more variety in the pro scene, and so they're making cars that are more viable for competitive play. Not cars that are more viable, but more viable cars for competitive play, I should say. So that
cars that are people more similar to the ones that are like very popular and popular. Right. To play right now.
So we don't see so many Octanes and Dominuses just completely dominating the competitive scene. And when people watch, I didn't even mean
more
to.
Like dominicing. No, so dominicating.
Oh, okay. Right. How come the role has changed this week? Jeez.
Mimosa.
Good goof, Savage. Good goof.
Thanks.
But it makes sense that they would want to do this because with the RLCS like taking off and then becoming a more watched esport, people want to see different cars and they want to show off more of the game, which, yeah, makes sense. I really, really, really like the look of the Esper. I hope that it's... It looks like the one that is least viable for, like, competitive play, hitbox, like, visuals-wise. I hope that that's different when I get it, my hands on it, because I think it looks sick.
When I look at it, it kind of reminds me of a Venom slash Scarab mix, and that makes me super excited.
The Venom and Scarab had a baby, and it is the Esper.
I like the Venom, and I wish I liked the Scarab. Sometimes I'll just choose the Scarab and then just go into free play and just like fly around and not touch the ball because I can't hit the ball with that car. I don't want to.
So I love the Scarab, but I just could never play it.
Easily the best looking freestyling car.
For sure.
100%. No doubt about it.
I'm excited to see like the like little creative freedoms and liberties that they took with things like, because you know how each car has its own unique boost. Like booster on the back, like the Dominus has like the double triangle booster and you know the Octane has the double vertical lines booster. I'm interested to see like those kind of like little nuances that they've put on the cars. I might go back and watch a trailer right after this, but
see if we have some working taillights. That'd be cool.
Oh yeah,
because I know we've had that discussion before.
We have had some, that discussion. I don't know. What about you? What car are you most excited to jump into and use?
I'm really excited for the Esper. I'm really excited for the Aftershock. I don't know how much I'll use the Marauder, and I don't know if I'll jump into the Mimosa right away. I'll probably wait on that one.
Marauder is the wild card of all of this, because it looks kind of like plain and dumb. Not like plain and dumb, like it looks kind of neat. I have a feeling that I'm going to like get into free play and drive around with the Marauder, and I'm going to be like, dude, this thing dribbles sick. Like, oh my gosh, like I can read the hitbox. Like, oh, I can get like huge hits with this. I have a feeling like it's just going to be the car that I end up using because of, you know, pragmatic reasons instead of, you know, others. Let's be honest. I hated the Octane when I first got the game, and I like never used it because I thought it looked like an RC car the entire time. And then when I started like getting into competitive and, you know, working those kind of things, I found out that like, whoa, this handles and dribbles really well and I can get hard hits with it. I like it. And so I think that that's going to happen to me with the Marauder probably.
Yeah. I think that it's 100% the wild card because it could be great. I could love it or I could hate it right away. It could just, I want to see how big it is. Like, because the talk was about how it handles and like what the hitbox was like. But we don't know like what the size is compared.
It's true.
Like, is it closer to Grog than it is Octane?
Right.
Size wise, or is it another just like small car like that, which would be really nice. And I think I would like it more like that. But with, I think when I go in, when I buy all the cars, because I'm not gonna be home actually from July 5th to the 12th or something.
Yeah, I'm going to Mexico probably, mid-July.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Live from Manfield goes to Mexico. And Wisconsin. So.
Same place. Same difference.
If you're in, Mexico, hit up Knox. If you're in Wisconsin, hit me up. We'll go get some cheese.
and I'll go get a churro with you in Monterey. Yeah. Because that's where I'll be.
Are churros actually a Mexican thing?
I don't like, know, I know, dude. Leave me
I know
alone.
Tacos
don't let me
are
show
like just like an American Mexican food.
Dude, you just said tacos, and now I have to go to Taco Bell after this. Way to ruin my night.
So what we should do is just hit pause and just go right now and then come back. Or just like not finish the episode and just like call it.
Yeah, let's call it. It's because okay. Let's be honest, if we go right now, we'll have diarrhea.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out. We will see you guys next Tuesday. Later.
So that's just more about this June update that's, like, super crazy. I mean, I don't even want to try to tally up all of the stuff that they've thrown at us about this June update. They also, in the same, like, news article for this stuff, announced that there will be more than 20 rare and very rare items. I like that they're not giving us, an exact number so that we have that, like, you need to look out for these things. And so, really, really excited, for this update that's coming. But that's all for so far that we know about that's new this week for the update. There are a couple event things that we'd like to talk about. One that may have slipped under the radar and not caught your attention, but in EU, they decided to kind of recreate the Euro League, but with Rocket League teams. And this is something I didn't even hear about until much after it happened. They did the Euro 16 Rocket League edition on ESPN. They're the ones who featured it and did the casting and everything, with just pro players playing as international soccer team representatives. We had, which what they called was Team Genesis, play as Switzerland, but when I say Genesis, it's not the Genesis you would think of. It was Kovenel, which is the second sub for Genesis, Kronovi from iBuyPower, and Moses from Enix. Well, now is Turbulence, because they have left the Enix org already. If I had a dime for every time that Turtle and Garrett decided to change their name, then I would have at least a dollar by now. I digress.
Wait, I'm sorry. What is Turtle and Garrett's new team name?
Turbulence.
It's back to Turbulence?
Yep, they left Enix.
But I thought they were looking for a new name.
They might have even gotten a new name.
Do we know it's Turbulence? I feel like it's not Turbulence.
In the power rankings that were released this week, it was Turbulence. It was
back to Turbulence?
Yep.
Okay, interesting. Because I know Garrett was all up on Twitter. There were some good names thrown at him. Not gonna say
maybe
who,
they might have. They've whatever. Probably changed it by now. But last, I can only report the last certainties, and it was Turbulence then. So we'll see what they are. I'm sure we'll see in the group stages for the RLCS. Speaking of the RLCS, you may be a little exhausted right now because you just finished playing a ton of Rocket League for the RLCS, or watching some of your favorite streamers play in the RLCS, because this was week one for the qualifier twos, open qualifiers for the RLCS. And boy, was it a doozy. They did things a little bit differently this time. I didn't get to participate in the first qualifier, but I heard that people were so exhausted it went into the early AM of the next day because they tried to fit all the way down to the top eight teams day one. But they didn't do that this time. Instead, you played, they had 32 brackets broken down, and if you won your bracket or won the loser's bracket for your bracket, then you go to what's the top 64 teams, and the top 64 bracket plays next weekend, which was interesting. I'm glad they broke it up. Give people a break, because I took a 20-minute break in between the winner's and loser's bracket when I was playing, and gosh, I needed it. Oh boy.
Yeah, you're telling me. I got to actually play in the first one. And, oh, that was a long day. We didn't actually start. We were supposed to start at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. or noon or 1 or something around there. And I know that I wasn't going to be able to play in it. And I got home at 4:21, just 4:21, 22, something after that. And they still hadn't actually played any games. Because they just, the site had crashed, and they were just waiting for, games to show up for them to play. Mm-hmm. And so, we only had, I was playing with Team Epic Ariel, rest in peace.
RIP. Literally RIP.
But I know Roguish Elf was just on playing Rocket League by himself. He didn't have anybody else from the team with him, so it was just me and him, and we had to wait, an hour or so before we could even play. And just pray that CJ Leak showed up on time. And so we didn't start until close to 6. And then we played until close to 1:30. I think it's when we got knocked out of the loser's bracket finally.
That's AM.
AM, 1:30 AM. Yeah. No, yeah, we went back in time.
And so, it definitely needed to be changed. I'm glad they changed it from being a big one-day thing. So that's different now. It's broken up into 2 weeks. And, I'm excited to hear how y'all did. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you thought.
So, someone here got to play in it. How did the attorney go for you, Knox?
All right, well, I was really scared. I actually had a coworker tune into my stream for my warm-ups of it, and they're like, "Hey, you were a little salty while you're warming up for the RLCS," and here's why. I signed up with Circa 1492 Esports, a small org team with Zdile, Complex, and Pyre, and Tyrus. And I was really excited to have a week that we could use to practice and get ready for the RLCS. And all week, I didn't even have Complex as a friend on Steam, and I couldn't find him when I tried to, like, search for him. But all week, the team leader wasn't on Steam at all. Like, no joke. Like, not on Steam. Nowhere to be found. I could not communicate with him whatsoever. So we got zero practice, zero scrims at all. And so, like, finally I saw him get on Friday night, and I'm like, "Hey, we doing this thing tomorrow?" And he's like, "Yeah, everyone should be there." And I was like, "Okay, well, like, I just need to add them as friends, and we need to get in, like, Discord, and, like, all this stuff." And so I was a little bit salty going into it. Saturday comes, and, he was like, "Oh, we'll be on early tomorrow to, like, warm up and, like, get some practice in and stuff, too." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds good." Saturday comes, I wake up at 9 a.m., which is at least 8 a.m. for all my teammates. They're all West Coast, so it's, you know, for the West Coasters, it was, like, 6 a.m. And I stayed on, like, the whole day looking at Steam, and, like, no one got on at all. Like, at all. And finally, by, like, noon, like, I'm like, "This is, like, crazy. We're not even going to end up playing in the RLCS." So, like, I'm on there, like, warming up on my stream and stuff, playing with randoms and, like, doubles and, like, solo standard. And, like, just, like, salty as all get out, like, "Great, glad I signed up for the qualifier too. This isn't gonna happen." and I even, like, took a little bit of out on, like, the teammates I was playing with, because I was just in a bad mood. Finally, I get a message from one of my teammates, like, "Hey, you know, add, you know, Complex through my friends list, because, like, he's not your friend yet." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And then no joke, we got everyone into a party and into TeamSpeak 4 minutes late for our first match. So we had no warm-up. We have never played together as a team. And we're going into the RLCS. But I am just happy that it has happened, all right, at this point. And so I've got a little bit of the jitters, a little bit of the nerves, shaking me up a little bit. I don't know how things are going to go. And our first game of the RLCS is 10-0. 1492 Esports. We played freaking well together. Synergy out the wazoo. We didn't need practice because we made it through the first six rounds of the winner's bracket without dropping a game and not getting less than a 5-6 goal differential. Really, really, really fun.
That's a lot of goals to score.
Yep. It was really, really fun, and I was kind of, like, thinking that maybe we just weren't playing the best of teams, but it turns out, like, we actually came across a couple big names. We got knocked out in the semifinals of the winner's bracket, which was against, I don't remember the
team name. Boost Over Ball.
Nope, not Boost Over Ball. It was, oh, gosh, I can't remember the team name, but they were really good, a really, really, really good team, some well-known names. Which I just can't remember for some reason. Because we came up against, like, a couple of those teams. But then we went down
in Infamous. You played against Infamous.
We did. That was Boost Over Ball. But that was in the finals of the loser's bracket. Because we dropped down into the quarterfinals of the loser's bracket right from our spot. And we won every game. We made it all the way to the finals of the loser's bracket without dropping a game again. And we played Boost Over Ball, which was... no, I'm sorry. We played Infamous and them in the semifinals of that bracket, and we won. We took two games from them immediately. We didn't drop a game. Then we played against Boost Over Ball, which had SMG Schwind and those guys. I think I'm mixing some of this up. Whatever. We played a really good team in the finals, and we went to three games all in overtime to try to make it to the next bracket, and we just couldn't pull out that last overtime goal. I think I was playing a little off. I honestly wish that I was playing better. I don't think I was playing bad, but I wasn't playing, you know, top knocks.
That was awful, and I hate you. I am so done. So done. So done.
But you know what? We'll use that as my story for this week in Rocket League. So when we get to that later, I don't need to tell a story. yeah, but sorry you didn't get to play in it. I had a lot of fun. I hope to see you in the next season of the RLCS. But speaking of the RLCS, we had another announcement come from Psyonix this week.
We did. So Psyonix got us all extremely super duper absolutely super duperly excited because they tweeted out a picture. They sent a nice little twit and they told us the date for the LAN and the location.
For reals, so we can start booking hotels.
Oh my gosh. So the LAN for RLCS, comprised of the top 8 teams in the world, will take place...
Top 16 teams in the world, right?
16?
I think there's two group stages, right?
Oh, I think so.
I think there's a group... maybe it might be top 8. There's a group stage of 4 for NA, group stage of 4 for EU, and then...
I think it's 8. I think 8 is the number.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Probably. You're always right when these things come up. Nox is uninformed. Terrible podcast host. Confirmed. 10 out of 10.
Absolutely. So, the date is going to be August 6th and August 7th.
A two-day Rocket League extravaganza event. It's coming on Sunday. I don't really think it's on...
I don't think that's a Sunday.
Yeah, no,
is
it's
that
not.
I don't think it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
But that just means that there's so much Rocket League that they can't contain it into one. Saturday and Sunday. It's Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday.
So, it's going to take place August 6th and 7th. It's the Saturday and Sunday in Avalon, Hollywood.
That's the opposite side of the nation for me.
Yeah, that's pretty far away.
Road trip?
And, well, you know, when I saw this date, I was really hoping that it was going to be the end of July for this LAN.
Uh-oh.
So that I could get out. But what they went ahead and did is scheduled it right over our family vacation.
No, which is in Avalon, Hollywood. Lucky you.
Which is actually in Washington, D.C.
That's the wrong side. Hollywood. Yeah, you're going
the wrong side of the country.
All right, what can I do to convince your parents to let you go to the LAN with me?
It's a good question. You could send me about $50,000 over PayPal, and then we'll just see what happens.
I can just pay off your parents?
Yeah, pay me, and then we'll see what happens.
I don't even know I'm going to be able to go, because it's quite a trek. But I'm interested maybe in doing some room sharing or something out there, so, you know, if you're planning on doing the LAN, hit me up. Do that Airbnb. RLCS
style.
Yeah,
that would be cool. So if we were able to go out there and do an Airbnb for, like, a really big house and just have a freaking party.
A Live from Manfield party nonstop.
A Live from Manfield LAN.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it'd be lantastic.
It'd be lanorific.
Oh.
It'd be Terraland.
I had a pretty good joke about it when someone said that. I said that we were going to be LAN ho, like a pirate, like LAN ho. Anyway, that's all the news that we have. That's all the news that we have for Rocket League this week, but we're not done talking about Rocket League because I'm never done talking about Rocket League. How was the game for you this week, Mr. Savage Sir?
So the game of Rocket League is so complex and so mysterious. It just floats away into the midnight sky.
It is but a fickle maiden, elusive and withholding.
So I started this week in All-Star Division 4, and then I went down to Division 3, and then I went down to Division 2.
I don't like this trend.
And then I went up to Division 3.
Nice, okay, good.
And then I went up to Division 4.
Nice, good.
And then I went down to Division 3.
Uh-oh.
And then I went down to Division 2. Then I went up to Division 3.
Oh, good.
Then I went down to Division 2.
Uh-oh.
Then I went up to Division 3.
Nice, good job.
And then today I went down to Division 2.
No.
And then today I went up to Division 3.
Alrighty, cool.
So I have had quite the interesting week. of just not a lot happening. I got to play quite a bit, which is fun. I got to stream quite a bit. I'm actually doing quite the interesting giveaway on my stream.
Uh-oh.
So I hit 100 followers, and since all of my super loyal, awesome followers and I were talking, and I had an interesting stream title one day that was called, I think it was...
Rectal Foreign Bodies Most Frequent? Oh, okay, sorry.
Yep. That was it. But it was about a miracle bamboo pillow. And I think I've mentioned that on here before.
What is this miracle bamboo pillow? I don't remember this, actually.
So, a miracle bamboo pillow is three pillows all in one.
Okay.
So, it's not just one pillow. It's like three pillows just like in one pillow. So, it's a like memory foam pillow, and it has like two other layers that I don't really know what they are.
Okay.
One night, I was just downstairs, and I watched this like 20-minute infomercial about it.
Did you actually buy something off of an infomercial?
Oh, I'm about to. Because that is what I'm giving away on my stream.
Oh, you don't actually own away, one?
No. I am giving away one miracle bamboo pillow to any... And all you have to do to enter into the drawing is come by my stream, follow me, and literally say hi in the chat while I'm streaming. Or maybe not while I'm streaming. Maybe I'll just have the Twitch chat open all the time.
Oh, I really want to win.
If you say hi, all anyone has to do is say hi, and they're automatically entered in. And I'll do a drawing next Friday. Friday night. And that's when I'll choose.
Pretty excited to win this pillow.
It's gonna be quite the epic proportions of.
I'll bring it to the LAN with me so that people can like see the experience and wonderful night sleep that I get with the miracle pillow.
Yeah. Miracle bamboo pillow.
The miracle bamboo pillow.
Yes, please get it right. I may not give it to you now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you should be careful.
Well.
Best be respecting the miracle bamboo pillow. But beyond that, it was fun playing. It was fun streaming. And.
Oh, you know what, though?
Oh, no.
I want to talk! Yeah, okay, we're supposed to do this, like, what? Call and response thing. Like,
I get it. Yeah, okay, start over.
All right, here we go.
One more time.
Right,
one more time.
I want to talk!
Rock.
No. Talk. No. It's talk. All right, we're saying talk.
Okay,
all right.
One more time. One more time. Okay. One more time.
I want to talk!
Savage.
I want to talk! It's, of course, the new hit segment Knox. Of the... of the Live from Manfield podcast, the Knox Talks segment, where I bring a topic for you and I to dissect and get into. And this week on Knox Talks, I want to talk about teams. I would guess that among our listeners are some of the more involved Rocket League players, some of the people who play competitively, who possibly play for a team, or at least want to play on a team. And this was something that I don't think it's talked about enough in Rocket League, and this is team management. This idea of players interacting with each other, having a leader, having someone that can, you know, not just manage and set up like scrims and practice for you guys, but is able to handle disputes between players, use a leader voice, and set the tone and temperature for your guys' communication. This kind of stuff. I think it's a fascinating thing that is a vital part of esports and worth talking about. So, Savage, you've played on a couple teams, a couple good experiences, a couple bad experiences. What were some of the... let's start with the bad. We'll start bad and go to a positive note. What were some of the negative experiences that you had with teams?
So, really, the only, like, negative things I've had from teams is just, like, toxicity taking over a team. And just ruining anything that was going to happen, ruining any chances we had with it. So I played on a team that we would get on, and we had one person that was very clearly the captain of the team. And he was the one that was going to tell us what to do, which is just, from then on, you know, that's just like, that's not a good situation to be in.
Right.
But it was like, okay, we played pretty well together, so I was going to go with it. And for some reason, we always would warm up in unranked, like, we didn't trust going into ranked or competitive, and
that's not a good tone for the team.
Yeah, that's pretty weak that we don't trust each other enough to play against competitive players, but whatever, So we go into unranked and we play. And if we would lose, then he would get really upset with us and, like, be very mad. And if we would be winning and, like, start to take it easy, he would get very upset with us and get mad.
Can't win.
So it was just, like, it was a pretty poor situation. And I don't know. I didn't really have a way. We tried to talk to him, sent him a couple long messages, talked to him over the telly a couple times. And just, like, it always came down to, like, this was how he was set and he wasn't going to change. And we were just kind of screwed.
It's almost one of those moments where you kind of, like, just got to, like, plant the seed, I guess. And then after so many roster changes that goes through his head, then, you know, he maybe starts fixing things, I guess.
Yeah. I'd be interesting to see, like, what he's doing now. But we are very much... I eventually just left. That's when I first took my, like, competitive break. That's really when I stopped playing competitive. It was after that team.
Yeah. I, of course, know the player that you're talking about just because of our friendship. I actually almost randomly fell into a team with him. I don't think he's got a team at all right now. And I think he's kind of maybe been looking for a little while, but I don't think he's landed one yet. But I don't know. Yeah. Negative experiences that I maybe have had with a team, it all comes down to, like, atmosphere, I believe. And so one of the things that I'm going to urge our competitive players out there that listen is to not just think about yourself when playing this. And that sounds like obvious, but thinking about your team in the atmospheric mindset. This is something like that's kind of like almost next level team management stuff a little bit. And it's something that I've kind of learned and grown into over the past month or so. But the way that you communicate and the way that you talk about your gameplay and others' gameplay on your team can set moods and set, like, atmosphere and tones that you, like, are inconducive or conducive to the way that you play. For instance, in the RLCS and stuff, even just, you know, this weekend, there were moments when, you know, there were certain things that, like, I felt I wasn't doing well, or I don't think that I was, you know, I may have missed a ball or I've done something, but I made sure to hold back my normal reaction of, like, oh man, I missed that. I'm terrible. Oh, I whiffed. Like, oh, what a whiff. Nice shot. You know, the joking kind of stuff like that, because I wanted to make sure that my team knew that I was still trusting myself and that they could trust me. And it was just this thing that I kept thinking about. Also, if I start to even seem like I'm tilting, I can maybe put them on tilt. Really thinking about the way that I had a positive attitude would affect them as a team, and just being that one brick for my kind of stuff. The moments that that's not been good for me are times that I have tilted or I've had players tilting. There was one experience, a competitive experience that I had kind of recently where I was subbing for a team and one of the players got extremely tilting. Not like toxic tilting, not like calling out bad stuff. He was just tilted, like upset that, you know, we weren't doing well and it wasn't anyone in fault particular, just team stuff. And I couldn't play anymore. Because his attitude had shut up my communication. I wasn't going to say a thing in the match. And I just couldn't wait for the game to be over. Those are the negative experiences that I think I've experienced the most in team stuff. What are some of the good ones that you've had? What are some of the, like, you know, moments in playing for a competitive team that you've had where you've thought, like, that was a good way to handle that? I think that I would do things like that from now on.
Huh. That's an interesting question. It's a good question. I think good team management moments.
I can start on this one, and if maybe it sparks some thoughts for you in this.
Yeah,
one.
Go ahead.
This may seem a little self-braggy here, but I want you to understand that I'm coming from the context that I led the competitive team, the Phoenixes, for like a long time. Like, we started in August after the game came out and pretty much played through December, maybe even January a little bit. Yeah. Into January. So we had a long run with several different rosters. We changed several times, with just me as the manager. I wouldn't say like leader, cause I wasn't like the best on the team or anything. And at the early times, I'll say that I got it wrong a lot. I had several people leave the team because I wasn't really good at being a team leader or manager. I remember one time in particular, we were in a tournament, and like I was going for a dribble, didn't really communicate very well, and one of my teammates came and knocked it off my car for a shot, and like I was like, I mean, I caught him. I was like, "What are you doing?" Like terrible, terrible, like stuff. And he actually ended up rage quitting the match in the middle of it. It was just like, I've made mistakes and learned from them, which is where I would say that I think I've grown to being a good team leader and really enjoying team leader. I'm not the leader right now for the team I'm on, but I think I've developed a good voice for how we can talk. My favorite thing is finding disputes and like ending them quickly or managing them well in the first place so that they don't turn into toxic things between players, but actually end up building better relationships between players. The best one example I can think of right now is we played, Marl Fox was on the Phoenixes with me, and our third, Penguino at the time, and I were very positive, confident players. And that was just our personalities, where we, you know, like, you would go into a game, didn't matter who we were up against, you know, we could take them on, we were going to do it, we were going to be the best. And Fox didn't have that kind of, like, mentality. He's just a different personality. You know, he's a realist. He wanted to, you know, like, you know, well, we'll see how things go. And sometimes it felt like, you know, it was really pulling down Penguino and I's, like, mood. Like, dude, you're, like, killing our mellow, like, you're mellowing our vibes, bro, kind of thing.
Fox don't kill my vibe. They don't kill my vibe. It's like a song. Someone should write a song about that.
Exactly. And I remember, like, the moment, you know, instead of saying, like, going to him and saying, dude, you need to, like seriously stop killing our vibes. Like, we're trying to do this. I talked with Penguino to see how he felt about it a little bit first, and then got his kind of, you know, read. And then I went to Fox in our group chat, that only he, Penguino, and I could see. And I just wrote like a, you know, a message saying like, hey, we've just noticed these kind of things that, you know, it kind of like brings us down a little bit and it maybe makes us not play at our best when we're feeling like we're mellowed out and stuff. And, was very well recepted by him. But he brought back like a counterpoint and he's like, okay. He's like, no, that's cool. I can kind of like keep some of those comments to myself and I can, you know, be a little bit more positive. He's like, also on the flip side, sometimes your overconfidence scares me and it makes me feel very pressured to play well. And I don't think I'm going to perform well. And I didn't even think about that. Didn't even see that from his perspective at all until he said it. And it was a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be at a whole nother level of team communication now because we know where everyone's coming from. And we know that when Fox says things like this, it's not because he doesn't think well of our team. It's because he is trying to reel himself out, expect what he knows to expect from himself while we're trying to boost up our confidence and play differently. And it's just the way that we talk. That was a cool moment for us, I think.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's good, like, good communication, good just, like, overall team management. Gosh, I haven't been on that many teams. I haven't really been involved with too many teams that stayed together for a while or...
None that you liked? Or at least, like, overly were joyed to play with?
Well, I always enjoyed... I had one team. I was on one team called Delta V. And that was me and Albert Q and Kaz. Kaz with a Z, not the awesome Rocket Tweeter Kaz with an S.
Oh, okay.
But we played and... It was a really cool circumstance that it came about because I was just hanging out with Albert one Sunday, and we were like, we should play ESL, and we just started messaging random people, and Kaz said he would play with us, and then we ended up making it to like the round of 8 in that ESL.
Hmm.
And it was just like, wow, that went extremely well.
Like, wow, Christopher Walken, wow. Here to accommodate you.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Two guards.
And we just, all we did was, we just walk-ined right up to the round of 8. And then we lost to, like, a top 10 team at the time.
Your Christopher Walken is just a Brooklyn accent. And the sad thing is that Chris Walken doesn't even have a Brooklyn accent.
Hey, there's no need to hate on my Brooklyn accent.
Listen for a second.
Christopher Walk, I don't need to listen. Christopher Walk is just walking here. Yeah.
He talks like this. He can get really quiet. Like, he whispers. But then he can pull out strange elongated words with multiple syllables.
See, I think that Christopher Walken is just like a Brooklyn, and he just talks like this. He's from the Bronx, man. Why don't you like Christopher Walken?
I think the biggest takeaway I've gotten from all of the competitive teams that I've played with, and I think that you'll agree with this, is the issue of pride. Make sure that your pride is always in check, because in order for a team to do well and succeed well and communicate well, pride can't be a factor. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, this ego idea. You can have all the self-confidence that you want, but don't let it get in the way of when someone's going to, you know, give any kind of criticism to help the gameplay. Always, always be open to that. Even if you think you might disagree with it, evaluate yourself. Same kind of thing. Like, your pride is going to make you think about yourself. Think about how your communication affects the others in the team. How can you best set the temperature for a positive mental game? These are all really important things. Just make sure that your pride's in check.
I definitely agree with that. It's all team management is, like, it doesn't even need to be a thing. If you're just, like, think about who you're playing with. Think about how you need to fit into this team. Think about the fact that you are not the sole leader of this team. Think about you are a team. You're more than just a team. You're, like, a group of people that need to get along well for your team to play well. And just go about it like you'd go about I don't know. It just needs to be a respectful relationship between your teammates so that dumb things don't get in the way of you guys playing well.
Ooh, I just thought of another don't. One, don't bring up criticisms during matches because that can always make people overthink. But two, don't bring up criticisms. There's a line to walk here. Don't bring up criticisms to one member about the other behind that person's back. That's where, like, things start to fester and bad things grow, where you start to, like, maybe cut off a team member from your team. And it's like, and when I say that, I don't mean like, don't talk to that other, like, team member about it, because sometimes you need to make sure that you're in check. Always make sure that you're in check. So if you think, let's say that you've got a teammate who's not rotating well, that you see, he's going, you know, doubling up on aerials when it's clearly, like, you know, someone else's ball. Instead of, like, going to your other teammate and saying, dude, this guy is doing this, he's killing us, like, we need to, like, you know, this is terrible, we need to change this now. First, I would go to that other teammate, and not the one that's making the mistake, go to the other one and say, hey, these are some things that I'm noticing. Are you noticing the same things? Do we maybe need to have a talk with him and see if we can fix some of this stuff? Or am I just out of line? That keeps you in check, but also keeps both members as a viable, like, part of the team and respects their opinions and their, like, position on the team. So one of my don'ts is don't go behind your teammate's back in a negative fashion. As you send me a message that says, yeah, you suck.
Oh, I was talking about you, Merrix. It's okay. I would never say that about you.
Gotcha.
In front of your face.
In front of my face.
Even though behind your back is, like, in front of your face. Because it's behind your back. Like, on the opposite side of your back. But whatever. Phrases be phrases.
Phrases be phrases. That, of course, is going to do it for us this week. Ending on the Nox Talks. It's been a fun episode to talk about this week. We, of course, want to thank you guys who are talking about us on Twitter. We're, of course, mentioning our Rocket tweeters. At the top, we got Cal from Kansas, flying high. Flying high, Kai. Cal. Cal. I messed up. Kaz the Rocketeer. Kaz Money.
Kaz.
We also have Lefty Deuce. Jesper Olson. We have Layup Boy JK and Andre 143. Thank you guys so much for tweeting about the show. You guys talking about it really helps get our name out there a little bit more, because we don't pay to advertise this show a little bit. So tell your friends who enjoy Rocket League, of course, if you want to, if you care that much about us. That's y'all prerogative.
And if you're Twitter shy and you don't want to express your feelings to the whole crowd, you can just personally reach out to us at livefrommanfield@gmail.com, and you can send us things to talk about. You can tell us what we're doing wrong. And another way to reach out to us more privately is checking out our new website, which you can find that at lfmanfield.com.
We both stream Rocket League. Savage actually has his internet up and working now, so you can find him at SavageRL on Twitch, and I'm Nox Phoenix on Twitch. You can find links to our channels on our website, of course.
So I have one more thing to add about where you can reach out to us, because we just got connected to someone's circle on Google+ this week. That's right. That's right.
Are you kidding me?
Google+ is coming back.
I'm like in plus right now.
If you have a Gmail, you have a Google+. So go check out plus.google.com and hit up liveformanfield@gmail.com.
Hang on. Google+. Who's connecting with us?
Piper J. Our awesome patron has connected with us on Google+. And that's why he's my favorite.
If you listen to the show each week and you like what you hear, we ask that you would just consider supporting the show. You, of course, don't have to. We will always be free and happy to do this for you guys free. We just love the fact that we get to talk about Rocket League and you people are willing to listen to us uneducated, ignorant plebes talk about this game. But we do have several people that do support the show on patreon.com/lfmanfield. It starts at 50 cents an episode, and you get some cool stuff, we think, at least, to give back to our patrons. Thanks to our grand champion guitarist and our champion supporters, Umerix, Matthew, and Piper J. We, of course, have several others down in the lower tiers, but we just want to thank that those guys for really being some of the top level of our patrons. We love all you guys. We love anyone who says, like, you know what? You guys are cool enough that we'll give you some money. That is just super nice of you guys. Thanks for doing that.
Make sure to check us out on iTunes and Stitcher and leave us reviews and subscribe to us and like us, because that really helps us to jump up those charts and helps people to find us when they look up Rocket League. Make sure they go to us. Because
for some reason, when you like search Rocket League we're number two now on the iTunes charts. So,
hey,
yeah, look at that. That's a thing now.
Moving on up.
That brings us to how we end our show with a sign off phrase submitted by one of you guys, the listener. This sign off phrase was sent in by Harrison Anderson at Lefty Deuce on Twitter, but that is going to do it for us this week. I am Nox Phoenix.
And I am Savage.
And is that a plunger as your topper? Or are you just happy to see me?